a little boy who wanted to own £100. £100 felt like a massive amount of money to him, and he wanted to know what it was like to have £100. He tried saving up his pocket money, but at 50p a week and the temptation of sweets in the sweet shop, he wasn't getting anywhere fast. So he decided to write God a letter requesting £100. He wrote it, wrote the letter, put it in an envelope, wasn't quite sure where to address it to. So on the front of the envelope, he wrote God, UK, underneath. And he put it in the post box. Now, the post office weren't really sure where to send this letter, so they thought, let's send it to Downing Street. Let's send it to the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister was so impressed, touched, and amused that he instructed his secretary to write back to the little boy and to send him a £5 note. And the Prime Minister thought, this might seem a lot of money to the boy. 10 weeks' worth of pocket money. And the boy was indeed delighted with the £5, with the answer to his letter from God. So he wrote, sat down, and wrote a thank you letter, which read like this. Dear God, thank you for sending me the money. I am so grateful for it. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through 10 Downing Street. And as usual, they took most of it. In our reading today, we heard the story of a man who asked God, or at least his representatives, Peter and John, for some money. He doesn't get any money, but what he does get instead is empowering and inclusive and life-changing for the man. We don't actually know that much about the man. We don't even really know his name. But for this story, he might have remained a statistic, another beggar who sat by the gate day after day whilst people walked past him on their way in and their way out of the temple. We knew that he had weakened limbs. We're told that his feet and ankles became strong after he was healed, which of course tells us that they weren't strong beforehand. They were weak to the point where he couldn't walk for himself. He had to be carried by his friends to the gate to beg. And the passage tells us that he was put by the gate. Whether he had any choice in the matter or not, we don't know. But to be put anywhere kind of implies that he didn't have a lot of control over his own circumstances. We know that he had been lame from birth. At some point, he'd begun to sit by the gate to get what? A handout? A meal? Enough to survive, enough to exist, enough to be able to come back and do the same thing tomorrow and the day after that. So we know he was put places. We know he had challenges, and we know that he was excluded. He was put outside the temple, watching those that were walking in and walking out go by. He's not part of the worshipping community. He's asking for charity from the people who are. Who knows how many people walked past him that day, maybe throwing a few coins his way, maybe walking awkwardly past, not really knowing what to do with the beggar sat by the gate. Peter and John are different. Now, I don't know how many times Peter and John would have walked past the man, whether they would normally have thrown him some money, but on this day, they didn't have any money. So Peter and John go and have a conversation with him. They make eye contact with him. They build a connection. They show that he matters. Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give to you." What did Peter give to him? I won't recount the story. We've just had it read. And you probably can remember the Sunday school song about the man who then went walking and leaping and praising God. If not, Paul will sing it to you later. So, at a very basic level, Peter, or the power of God in Peter, healed the man, gave him the ability to walk, gave him the ability to walk and leap and praise God. But what else did Peter give him? The ability to work for a living. No longer would he need to beg, no longer would he need to sit there relying day after day on people who were able to give charity. He was given the opportunity to participate in society. He was able to go into the temple to worship. For so many years, he had been left at the gate and watched people go in and out. After he was healed, he was able to go and be part of the community, part of the society. And that would have been incredibly empowering for him. No longer would he have had to rely on a network of people to carry him, to put him anywhere. He could go where he wanted under his own steam. In that moment, and in that brief encounter with God, Peter and John had, in the moment they had with the nameless man, we see that picture of that radical, inclusive, and life-changing power of God at work. It was not God's plan just to make his life a little bit better, a little bit more bearable. It was God's plan to change his life, to show him that he mattered, to show him that he could be included, to show him that he could contribute, that he could have life and life in all its fullness. And I think that's what, as a charity, we try to do at In Hope. And you'll have seen in the video that whilst we do offer kind of emergency support for people at their point of crisis, that charity, if you like, we do try to offer people something that is about helping them to reach their potential as well. So we focus on enabling and empowering people to move past their own particular circumstances, to develop skills, to build up their confidence, to build relationships, to be part of a community, and to take control of their own lives. I want to tell you a little bit about somebody called Natalie. Natalie was disabled and isolated and came to the food bank struggling with her bills. She was referred to the food bank wanting a food parcel, enough food to get her and her family through the next couple of days. She didn't really have a plan about how she was going to get past those next couple of days once the food had run out. All she knew was that she had to go to the food bank to get the food that she needed for that day. While she was there, she had a cup of tea and a coffee, a cup of tea and a biscuit, with one of the support workers who was able to kind of get to know her a little bit, find out a little bit about her story, and was able to do a kind of financial assessment with her and look at where support might be available to her. The support worker was able to apply for a water bill reduction, and Natalie was awarded a reduction that reduced her water bill down to £1 per month from £35 per month. And the water company also arranged that her arrears could be written off if she kept to that plan of paying £1 per month for 2 years. So having come to the food bank just expecting to get a handout, expecting to get some food, she realised and found out that she was able to get more support. She was able to get support that actually put her back in control a little bit to her own circumstances. The story, I guess, not to the same extent as the one we heard from Acts, but talks about how people came asking for help, but actually got much more than that. Just to run through some of the services that In Hope offers, there is a leaflet, a pile of leaflets at the back that you are more than welcome to help yourself to. They look like this, so they're free for you to take away, and on the back kind of has an outline of our our services. There's four main services. There we go, they're on the screen. The Wild Goose is our day centre. The Spring of Hope is our support for homeless women, which includes accommodation overnight. And Life Recovery supports those people that are recovering from addiction. And it's not the rehab part of it, and it's not the medication part of it, but it is the how do you rebuild your life? How do you make friends again? How do you build safe relationships? How do you manage the admin of life? How do you manage bills? How do you start thinking about getting a job when actually you're restarting from scratch? So that's what Life Recovery does. And the food bank, as well as offering emergency food parcels, offers support and help and advice and guidance. If we could have the next slide. Who does In Hope help? And then the short answer is anybody who comes through our doors. We try to help, and we're kind of well connected with other charities in the city, so if it's the wrong thing for us, then actually we can kind of signpost people to other support. The slightly longer answer is that actually a wide range of people can. People who are hungry, people who are homeless, people who are living with the challenges of addiction, women who have been abused or who are looking for somewhere safe to stay. Families come to the food bank who are struggling financially, especially with the cost of living crisis that we hear so much about. People who are unemployed, refugees, people who have lost hope, and people who are looking for an opportunity to change. So a wide range. I could go on and on. I'm not going to, because we'd be here for quite a long time. We have, next slide again. I feel a bit like Chris Whitty. Next slide, please. I think I mentioned earlier that we kind of have a load of volunteers who are primarily, not exclusively now, but primarily Christians that have come from all over the city, but around the surrounding area as well. In Hope came into being from churches across Bristol and the surrounding area, coming together, working together to tackle issues that actually no one church could do. So we have kind of over around 350 volunteers who give their time in incredibly diverse ways. Some are helping with my team, with the fundraising communications team, doing events, doing various video work, kind of preparing materials. Others serve food in the Wild Goose. You see a group of people there with aprons on. There's a group on there doing some DIY kind of refurbishing. They refurbished a whole load of chairs within the Wild Goose. Some people will drive the van to go and collect donations from supermarkets all over the city, or from schools, or from churches, especially around harvest time. We have food bank outlet managers. We have women who stay overnight with Spring of Hope. Again, there's just the diversity of roles that people have is amazing. And I don't want to go on again, but I will say that actually, if you're looking for kind of that representation of what Paul meant when he wrote about the church being like the body of Christ, then actually our volunteer team is probably a pretty good picture. Just the diversity of skills, the diversity of ages, people coming together to serve those who are vulnerable and marginalized. It's a pretty good example. There are a range of things that anybody can do to work with In Hope. Hopefully there's something for everybody. Volunteering is something I know is possible. There's kind of a range of roles. So if you're interested in volunteering, then we do have some vacancies at the moment. You can pray. And actually, it's quite easy to tritely say you can pray. Actually, the knowledge, particularly over the last kind of couple of years that we've had, the knowledge that churches and Christians are faithfully praying for the ministry, are praying for the people that we serve, are praying for the volunteers, are praying for the staff, are praying for the finances, are praying for all of that, is so uplifting to everybody, to know that this this kind of groundswell of people across, of this community of Christians across the area praying together, just makes such a difference. And we quite often work by kind of the just-in-time moment of prayer, a bit like the technology worked just in time today, the kind of the just-in-time, we need stuff, we need food, we're out of tomatoes, and people or somebody will put up a prayer. And randomly, it's quite bizarre, actually, the amount of times people have prayed for things, and then somebody's knocked on the door and gone, I've got this crate of stuff, do you want it? And you're like, yes, yes we do. How did you know that? It's truly, brilliant, but slightly bizarre. So you can pray. You can donate. Like I said, we're kind of a Christian charity that's reliant on the support of churches. I know Rington has supported us over the years. So people can donate. You can go on a website and do that if you want to do that as individuals. And you can follow us on social media, on our website. You can sign up to receive our quarterly magazine that will just get sent out to you. That's all free of charge. So if you want to be able to pray into things, know what's going on, then you can kind of follow us and know more about what we want to do. I think the final slide is just my contact details, which, to be honest, I'm here. So if you want to talk to me, then do that after the service. Although you can kind of contact us afterwards. I think that's all I want to say for now.
Thank you, Steve.